Chapter 23, The Prop of the Darkness. Opening questions. Did Joshua make future predictions in the Gospels? Did Joshua predict that a book would be written that contained people's opinions about God and that people ought to look to that book and those authors to understand God? Is the Bible Joshua of Nazareth or God? Do the Bible authors accurately represent the Creator? How would we know? Does the Bible contain contradictions? If a contradiction is found in the Bible, how likely are people who believe that the book represents God to accede the contradictions? As we have discussed in prior chapters, the fundamental error or purposeful mistake is to substitute a large book people call the Bible for the person and teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. The error has two aspects. The first is human nature that very much wants to participate in that error. The light said this in that regard. Quote, "And this is the condemnation, that the people of the world love the darkness rather than the light," unquote. This love of the darkness is the spiritual cause that puts us in cages and causes us to be governed by self, pride, and fear and selfishness. Here are the other key discipleship teachings of the light that harmonize with that teaching and truth I just read. Quote, "He who has found his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." That's Matthew chapter 10. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's Matthew 16. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." That's Mark chapter 8. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." That's Luke chapter 9. "Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." That's Luke 17. "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." That's John chapter 12. I quoted all of his sayings of the light to make the point on how fundamental a teaching it is of Jesus of Nazareth. It occurs in all four gospel books, as you can see, multiple times. So if we, quote, love the darkness, unquote, we will endeavor to, quote, save, keep, love our life in this world, a life primarily of selfishness and ignoring all the wrong and evil in the world. We will refuse to love as the light defines that. We know at some level that if we speak about the wrongness we encounter each day, wrongness in relationships and how people run or operate businesses or governments or ministries, etc., we will be rejected and perhaps worse. So, what do we do? In general, we keep our mouths shut, which is how we keep our lives in this world. We do not speak the greater truths of the light, that people are in darkness and need the light as their leader. And we even have trouble speaking the lesser truths of people doing wrong things. This is particularly evident with homosexuality and transgenderism in the United States at this time. The other thing we do is to try and have our cake and eat it too. This is called religion. For Christians, they have selected as their distraction and nullification of the light, their prop, if you will, the large book they call the Bible. By calling or believing the book is the word of God to mankind, they in one stroke both nullify the light and are able to justify almost any behavior in the name of God. The Bible is replete with examples of an angry God bringing his wrath and vengeance upon many millions of people. Since God does this, then surely we human beings are justified in acting like him and in, quote, doing his will in that regard. The Crusades were a more recent good example of this. All of that killing in the name of the one who actually said, quote, love your enemies. For a person using their mind even just fairly well and who seriously studies the Bible, that person can only conclude that there are hundreds of contradictions and hundreds of evil deeds that are justified in the name of God in that book. This rightly frustrates non-theists as they bring these contradictions and falsehoods to Christians, only to have Christians deny the plain contradictions and falsehoods. In fact, the Christians make a practice of writing large books with the express purpose of defending the contradictions and falsehoods. Here's a short list of obvious non-moral contradictions from the Bible. Here we'll start first with the Hebrew scripture errors. Genesis 25:1 versus 1 Chronicles 1:32, wife versus concubine. 2 Kings 24:8 versus 2 Chronicles 36:9, 18 years old versus 8 years old, 1 Kings 7:26 versus 2 Chronicles 4:5, 2,000 versus 3,000 baths, Ezra 2:5 versus Nehemiah 7:10, 775 versus 652 sons. It must be asked why the translators translate the same exact Hebrew word transliterated bane as two different English words. 1 Kings 9 verses 27 and 28 versus 2 Chronicles 8:18, 420 versus 450 talents of gold. 2 Samuel 24:1 versus 1 Chronicles 21:1, God versus Satan. Isaiah 34:7, King James Version, unicorn, an animal of Latin Greek mythology. Isaiah 13:21 and 34:14, King James Version, satyr, a half-human, half-goat creature of Latin Greek mythology. Now let's look at some New Testament errors. Matthew 27:9 through 10 cites Jeremiah, yet the prophecy is clearly contained in Zechariah 11:12 and 13. Matthew 1:16 versus Luke 3:23, Jacob versus Heli. Matthew 8:6 versus Luke 7:3 and 6, censuring himself versus elders of the Jews or friends. Matthew 8:28 versus Mark 5:2 through 15, 2 and 15, two demon-possessed men versus one man. Mark 14:69 versus Luke 22:59, the same servant girl the second time or another saw him, man, I do not know what you were saying, when previously he said to the servant girl, woman, I do not know him. Acts 12:4, King James Version uses the word Easter, while almost every other major translation uses the word Passover. So which translation is correct? Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 versus James 2 verse 24. Oh, the tap dancing and sleight of hand used to try and reconcile the plain contradiction between, quote, saved through faith alone, not of works, versus, quote, justified by works and not by faith only, unquote. Ephesians 4:11 versus John 10:16. The same Greek word, poimen, is translated shepherd in John 10:16 and pastors in Ephesians 4:11. What rational explanation exists for that except the translators wanted to avoid the plain contradiction? Then there are the moral or ethical wrongdoings or justifications by a supposedly perfect, righteous, just, loving God. Here is a short list of just a few of the many of those immoral teachings in the name of God. The Exodus story has God killing many thousands of innocent male babies, boys and young men, the eldest male child of the Egyptian families living in Egypt, instead of killing the guilty Pharaoh and those directly enforcing his unjust and oppressive ways. God inspiring, according to Paul, the pornographic rebuke of Ezekiel in his book, chapter 23. Certainly the language in Ezekiel 23:20, for example, is hardly necessary to bring a rebuke and is difficult to imagine a, quote, holy God inspiring. The Old Testament teaches, quote, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. That's Psalm 17:9. Most Bible leaders take that to mean Moses' teachings in the Torah. In stark contrast and rebuke, the light says in reference to Moses' teachings, quote, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That is a teaching of Moses in Exodus 24:14 or Deuteronomy 5:18. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Unquote. That's Matthew 5:27 and 28. According to Joshua, the law of Moses was quite imperfect, incomplete, and unfulfilled. If this is so, and Joshua says it is, then how could Moses' writing be inerrant or perfectly portraying the Father's mind? King David, quote, I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become mine enemies, unquote. That's Psalm 139:22. The light says, quote, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, unquote. That's Matthew 5:43 and 44. So are these words of David inspired by the Holy Spirit, as Paul teaches? not according to the light. All arguments to justify David's words because he was in the old covenant commit the error of begging the question. Has God the Father changed so much between the covenants that in one case his Spirit inspired David to express and justify hatred, while in the other his Son teaches just the opposite? Do perfect beings change? Next error. The prophet Samuel, quote, "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of the hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has. And do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." Unquote. That's 1 Samuel 15, 1-3. So the light says, quote, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Unquote. That's Matthew 5, 43 and 44. So again, Jesus' father, supposedly speaking through Samuel, orders Saul, based on the motivation of vengeance, to go kill thousands of, quote, "women, children, and babies," unquote. To try and reconcile the light of the world's command to, quote, "love your enemies," unquote, with murderous vengeance is to be deluded. It is the perfect example of how religion blinds people to simple truths. And the simple truth is that the God of the Hebrew Scripture is one made by men, while the God revealed by the light is the creator of the human race. Another example, King Solomon, quote, "A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace," Ecclesiastes 3:8. The light, quote, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," unquote. That's again Matthew 5, 43 and 44. So are these words of Solomon inspired by the Holy Spirit as Paul taught? Not according to the light. Joshua teaches that God the Father rewards mercy and loving your enemies. And thus God's Spirit at no time taught that there is a time for hate and for war for those who are listening to him. Of course, one is free to explain the truth away with philosophies, which philosophies Joshua did not teach, about how God's commands do or not apply to nations, etc. Judges, chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, quote, "Now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers," unquote. 1 Samuel 16:14 also says, quote, "Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him," unquote. Here's the light again, quote, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," unquote. That's Matthew 5. 43 and 44. So these passages in the Hebrew scripture have God sending, quote, "an evil spirit," unquote, between two people groups, the result of which was treachery, violence, and murder, and another evil spirit to terrorize Saul. To show the foolishness of trying to somehow reconcile these passages with the character of God revealed by Joshua of Nazareth, let's rewrite a famous saying according to the Hebrew scripture. Quote, "For God so loved the world that he sent evil spirits to terrorize them." Next example, Job 42:8. God supposedly speaking, quote, "For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has," unquote. So if these words in the scripture are correct, and according to Paul's doctrine they must be, then whatever was recorded in the preceding chapters of the book of Job was said by Job's friend about God is wrong. For he said, quote, "You have not spoken of me what is right," unquote. How could the Holy Spirit allow Scripture to be wrong about God for whatever was recorded of the friend's words about God in those Scriptures is wrong? Now I could provide many hundreds of similar contradictions and wrongdoings justified by the God of the Bible, really the God of the authors who wrote most of the books included in the Bible. Sadly, I have found that when we want to believe something that we consider important or that we have believed and haven't adequately vetted, then we will believe it even if the only tool or means we have to know true from false, that is reason and logic, clearly show that it is false. And so it is with the Bible and the Christians and Biblians who cling to the book, ignoring its darkness, or perhaps secretly glad about the darkness and thus justifying their behavior. Hey, if God did it or blessed it, then I can do it too. So to sum up the section thus far, we have seen that the great falsehood that the Christian religious business system is run on is the belief that the Bible is God's word to mankind. Or, stated another way, that the great lie of the prince of the world is that Joshua of Nazareth and his truth is not all that is needed for freedom and eternal life. In the next chapter, I have some questions to ask and comments to consider for those who defend the primary error and the great lie of the successful failure. Chapter summary. The Bible being considered the Word of God is perhaps the great falsehood of this time and perhaps the last many hundreds of years. In the last few centuries, the Bible has become a substitute for the person of Joshua of Nazareth and his life and teachings. The Bible is full of contradictions if you are a person willing to use reason and logic well. The Bible, while having many good stories about people of faith and much good human wisdom, and recording many fairly accurate historical events regarding human history in that part of the earth, is not the, quote, word of God to mankind. Rather, Joshua of Nazareth is. To place the life accounts of Joshua of Nazareth into a large book, which book has many contradictory concepts to Joshua's teachings, is a very effective way to hide the light and to destroy his message. For a clear contrast between the Biblian view and the view of the follower of the light, see Appendix 7, Protestant Biblism Debunked.